Hi, this is Debbie.
And this is Amy, and in this episode, AADL talks to Rich Magner, owner of Blimpy Burgers Restaurant, where Town and Gown have been meeting in Ann Arbor for more than 60 years. We talked with Rich about the history of Crazy Jim's, the famous order line, and what makes a great burger. Rich gave a progress report on the future of Blimpy Burgers and the crowdfunding campaign currently underway to assure its future. Highway keeps calling me, there's no time to settle
down. The music's in my soul. I wonder if you could start by giving us a brief history of Blimpy Burger.
Let's see. It was started by Jim Schaefer when he was a pretty young man, I think, in his 20s. He's from Jackson, Michigan. He was, I believe, a soldier in World War II. And after the war, he was married, was living in Jackson, and his wife was, at the time, was ill, and they didn't have health insurance back then. And so he was working two jobs, and he worked in a coal yard in Jackson, and he worked in a little hamburger joint as a second job. And he really liked working in the hamburger joint and was good at it and kind of built the business up. And while he was operating there, he got a tap on the shoulder from a fellow in Ann Arbor here that had a hamburger joint, which was also pretty close to the library here. It was up on the corner where MLive is right now. Anyway, it was across the street from the VFW, and it was called Jumbo Burger. And he started working there on a percentage basis and built the business up and had quite a following. And the landlord decided, I don't need to pay this guy anymore. And Jim got wind that he was going to be let loose, so he quit and decided to open his own place. First place he opened was down by across from the courthouse on Huron. There's a different building there now, but behind where PNC is currently, there was a series of storefronts along the street there. One of them was a Greek bar restaurant or something. Anyway, he was in between, and his building there didn't even have heat or anything. It just had a roof and a front, didn't have a back door, and basically the grill is what heated the place. So when he started up, he had, goodwill from his purveyors and whatnot, and so he had credit with them, but he didn't have any cash flow, so he needed to get started. And what he decided to do was to offer really cheap breakfast, I think 59 cents or 69 cents, something like that, for a full breakfast, eggs and ham and toast and coffee juice. So that's how he started, and he did that to, get some cash flow. He told the idea of doing that to the bar owner next door. He was sitting with his brother, and they explained that he was going to do this cheap breakfast to get things rolling. The Greek bar owner told him, "You're crazy." So that's where the Crazy Jim started. There's other reasons that I'm sure over the years that he's been crazy, but that was what I was told. Anyway, I think they got off to an okay start. And while that was operating, actually they had to take their trash out. They had to go out the front door and through the bar to get to the alley. So while that was operating, I think he also had a contest, and I don't know if it was at that location or later, but a contest to name the burger, and I think a high school student came up with the winning name of Blimpy Burger. Now, I could be wrong on all this stuff, but these are stories that have been told in the past. While he was operating there, he came across the location that everybody believes is the first one at 551 South Division. That used to be a corner market like we had around town. There's Jefferson Market. There's been a lot of little markets. There used to be one down on Packard, and kind of dispersed in the neighborhoods. And that's why Blimpy's is in that location. It was in that location. At any rate, I don't know if it was operating, but he got a lease from the woman that owned the building and owned the house next door. On nights and weekends, he got the place ready to open what started as what most people think as the original Blimpies. I think that was in 1953. So, as of 2013, it had been there for 60 years. He got it opened and actually ended up eventually buying the house next door and the store from the little old lady that owned the property. So he was living next door and working at Blimpie's in the early years. I can remember him saying that he didn't really have, not aptitude, but he didn't really have experience in restaurants, but it didn't seem to have hurt him. I do know that he was very good with percentages and he had kind of a innate business sense that was, I wish I had as good a business sense as he did. But I remember one of my customers who worked there, he says he worked there the first day, and Jim dropped him off in his DeSoto or something like that and opened the door and let him in and just told him to have at it. He was hands-on, but he wasn't hands-on as well. He really let his employees kind of be themselves, invest themselves in what they were doing. I think they started off pretty well right off the bat. I can remember some of the old-timers saying that they got there and there was a line out the door and down the street. And so they got in line just to see what it was all about. And it's kind of funny that we had lines down around the corner when we were closing this past August. So it was the same kind of thing. People really liked the place. I think because it was unique in that you got to interact with the employees or the cook and actually have a one-on-one exchange with them. That's what I've always liked about it, and I think what a lot of people have liked about it. It scared some people occasionally, but...
When did you become involved with Blimpie's?
Well, I became involved twice. The last time was 21 years ago. But the first time was I came to Michigan as a freshman in 1968, and I lived in the dorm behind in West Quad on the second floor, Wendley. Looked out over the back of the Blimpie property, and I can remember that fall and spring of my freshman year. Blimpie's used to be open 7 days a week till midnight, and I can remember at 11:45 at night scraping together my change to come up with 75 cents so I could go and get a triple cheese on an onion roll. It was just American cheese back then, but same type of onion roll, actually. That was, my first encounter was as a freshman. Then, the next summer I came back in the fall of 69. I ended up getting subletting a one-room efficiency in one of the buildings that Jim owned. I think it was Labor Day weekend, actually. I went next door and got a job working at Blimpie's. And so I started that fall and worked through the school year. Traveled the next summer. I was gone in the summers, but I was there off and on until 74. And while I was there, Jim asked me to do a t-shirt design for him. He wanted a cow on it, and I don't do cows, so I did a bear. The t-shirt design that we've had since the early 70s, I think it was probably 72 or 73 that I did that design, has been the t-shirt logo and actually been the logo on the awning at one time and so on. And I did a couple other little things. I think I also started dating a fellow employee. I think she started in 72, maybe ended up marrying her. And we met at Blimpie Burgers. So my wife Christine and I are now the current owners of what was and will be again, Blimpie Burgers.
So the burgers are great. The price was good. The name was good. But it sounds like you think the experience, the actually interacting with the staff, was what really was the magic formula for the business? Or
the burgers are great because we grind our own beef. It's never been frozen and processed. And every time you do something like that to a burger, freeze it and thaw it, or freeze it and cook it and then heat it, reheat it, any of those kinds of things, you lose something each time. But Blimpie's has always been ground fresh every day, and that's one of the key reasons they're good. It's funny because it used to be, like I said, a corner grocery store. The walk-in that we ground the beef in is older than the 60 years. I mean, it was the walk-in before Blimpie started, and that's part of why the configuration in the restaurant was as tiny as it was because the walk-in's kind of in the middle. The buns, our onion rolls, have always been great, and Jim started getting the onion rolls because he got some dinner rolls from the company that baked them. He liked them so much that he wanted to use them. Anyway, he ended up with these really good onion rolls. So those are a couple of reasons. Everybody asks what cheaper than food means. I know you're going to ask that, so I'm going to interject that now. But it was started in 53. Back in the early 50s, people didn't eat out very often. That was a real treat, and it was expensive to eat out. Most people cooked at home, and they cooked from scratch and that kind of thing. Cheaper than food kind of refers to the fact that you can go out and take the whole family out and get these and feed them for cheaper than you could cook it at home. So that's why, you know, tongue-in-cheek, it was cheaper than food. People tried not to take themselves too seriously. But like I started out by saying, Jim was... He would give you direction, but he wouldn't be on your case to say certain things, or, you know, he didn't tell you a specific approach. You know, he wanted you to deal with the customers. Everybody gets to do that as themselves. That's really key. I mean, when you're trying to wait on somebody and you have this list of questions you have to ask, and hi, I'm your server today, and blah, 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 and the specials are, and this and that and the other thing, it makes it tough. But if you can, you know, just be open in yourself and do what you're supposed to do, which is to sell, and doing that directly with the customer is key and always has been key. The other thing that an employee gets is they get the immediate reaction of their customers, because they're right there with them. They've designed the burger with the customer, and the customer gets to eat the burger hot off the grill, not after 5 minutes sitting in the window or 10 minutes sitting in the window. You get it cooked fresh, you get it the way you want it, and you get to eat it immediately. So all those things are kind of key.
Sometimes when you get in line, so if you don't know what you want, you haven't prepared, you might get kind of yelled at.
Kind of yelled at thing has most of the employees don't do that, and some of them do. The reason that there is that perception is that there are a couple people that do that, and it's kind of a mixed blessing. Because some customers don't appreciate it, and I certainly understand that, because I don't appreciate it either. The one person in particular that does it, it's kind of part of who she is and the way she approaches people, and she's really not doing it to be obnoxious and rude and mean. And a lot of it is in play. Occasionally, if I get a complaint letter or that kind of thing, it's usually because their perception of what it should have been, what good service should be, and how they should have been treated, and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes, you know, I'll talk to the employees afterwards and realize, oh, this person this person came in with a chip on their shoulder. It's pretty obvious. But other times, they were probably right. When you're on the line, and I've pissed customers off myself, when you're on the line and it's busy and you're trying to get through the customers as quick as you can, you have to move the line through. The whole process of ordering is dependent on the customer and you having this ongoing conversation. So to get it done quickly, you've got to ask them the right questions in the right order so that you can get the burger done fast. I mean, I'll ask how many patties so I can get them on and line them up, what kind of bun, you know, all the different questions we ask. And I don't have to remember those. Some of the cooks can remember, you know, from start to finish. If the customer rattles it off in whatever order the customer wants, they'll remember, but not me. I need the buns, I line them up, and the patties, I line them up. And once I've asked them and keyed their burger to their face, all I have to do is wait until it's time to ask them for cheese and ask them for cheese, and then I'm done with it, and the next person dresses it. So it's all kind of lined up that way, and you're trying to do it as quickly as you can, because it's not as fast as getting a burger out of the window that's in a box, you know.
Well, I was going to say that actually I think that's might even be part of the appeal, because I remember the first time I went, it was like a rite of passage. My brother warned me, now make sure you know what you want before you walk up in the line, and you know, it was a big deal. So
yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we've designed the new kitchen so that it's the same kind of setup where you order the same way, and I think it'll work pretty well.
Going back to the bears, how did you get from the bears on the T-shirt to the snow sculptures and that?
Let's see, I started in 92. Blimpie's had been closed for several months at that point, and Jim had it on the market to sell. And I needed a job at the time, and I started work, and I said, you know, I'll work it on a percentage basis. I was still looking for work when I started. I can remember I had a job interview that day, and I was wearing a shirt and tie because I'd been working, unfortunately, in kitchens, but I had been used to wearing shirt and tie. Anyway, I showed the, and I'll get to the bears in a second, I showed the restaurant to a couple of potential buyers, and realized I'd like to buy this. And Jim and I started talking, and we worked out a deal so that I could start buying it. By the end of 2002, the end of 1992, we had kind of reached an agreement. And January of 93, I was more or less starting in on my agreement to buy the place. And January of 93, there was a huge snowstorm. Christmas of 92, my daughter gave me a salt dough Blimpie Bear. And so it was a little sculpture of what was on the T-shirt. And I had never thought of the bear in 3D. I kind of made a connection between the present she had gotten me for Christmas. And we had snow, and I had always made snowmen, dragons and turtles and whatever. I'd made snowmen with the kids. And I thought, oh, I'll do a Blimpie Bear in front of the store. Anyway, I did my first snow bear, and I can remember there was only a couple of guys working with me when I first started, because it was pretty slow. I'll tell you, when I got back there in 92, I was kind of amazed. It was the only people coming in were guys. It was like a guy thing. No families, no, you know, I think in the past there had been, but it was kind of strange. At any rate, we got this big snowstorm in January of 93. So I decided I'll make a snow bear out front, and I tried to make him look like the bear on the T-shirt, just like my salt dough bear that I'd gotten for my daughter. And then I think I made another one the next snow, which was like within a day, and a hamburger. made him a little bigger and stuff. And so he's sitting in front of the store right at the intersection where people can see it. And the next thing I knew, it was on the front page of the Ann Arbor News. We got more snow, and I just started making more bears. And then I noticed, wow, you know, people bringing their kids and taking pictures of the bears and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going, this is good. I put a big sign in the window, kids eat free on Tuesdays, above the bear. At night, I'd put a light behind it so it would show up better for probably the next 5 or 6 years at least. The first couple of years, there was quite a bit of snow, and it was fun because the awning protected the snow from the rain. So if I got a bear built and it got cold, the snowmen or the snow bears, they don't shrink lopsided. They just shrink kind of, they just get smaller. And if I can keep working on them a little bit, they tend to, you know, stay recognizable. And if we get more snow, I can redo them. So, you know, I might start out with one bear and another bear. I've had as many as like 14 or 12 bears, something like that, out there. I've had bears all the way, almost every year until St. Paddy's Day. This last bear that I did was a year ago, February. You know, I put a heart on it, so that was the last snow bear at 551 South Division.
What reaction did you get from the customers when you announced that the property had been sold to U of M and Blimpie was going to have to move on?
Understandably, outrage. You know, there are a lot of misconceptions as to what the deal was and that kind of thing. I didn't realize that it had been kind of in the works for at least a year before I found out. The property on that block started getting bought up in 2011 sometime. So this project that the university has, they got the big donation for this dormitory, and if you look at how fast they've done their construction, there's no way a project that size was not in the works for a while. I was just leasing the property. We didn't own it. I had an option to purchase the property, and I was in the last year of my lease. What they did do was they honored my lease. They bought the property from Jim's widow and Jim's trust. They gave them an offer just after Thanksgiving in 2012. So right after Thanksgiving, we got the word that the university had offered for the property that I had an option to buy, and that was the reason that I found out when I did, that the university was offering them $1,075,000 for the property that Blimpie Burgers was in the house next door. And I had 30 days to match that if I wanted to buy it. So, you know, my wife and I were like in shock and didn't say anything to anybody for a couple of weeks because we didn't want all the questions and have to be blah, blah, blah to everybody. Then the university eventually was going to announce it because the sale was contingent on the regents approving it. So their annual or their monthly meeting is an open meeting. It's on the second Thursday of the month kind of thing. But the week of their meeting is always announced in the paper the Monday before because it's open meeting. So the agenda is always posted. The week before the meeting, I think it was actually a week and a half before the meeting, somehow it had leaked out the townie Facebook page and things like that. And so I started getting phone calls. The first time I got a call, I said, yeah, I think that's a rumor. And then I got, 2 hours later, I got another two calls, and I said, okay, the cat's out of the bag now. You know, a lot of outrage from longtime customers and that kind of thing. And I had one fella start a Save Blimpie's Facebook page and this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, there's nothing you can do. You know, there's no point in making a big stink over what's inevitable. If I'd have gotten the offer, for that kind of money. And my mom was, at the age that Patricia's at, that's Jim's widow, I certainly would have taken it too, because I want her to have a comfortable rest of her life. You certainly can't blame them for doing that. So the unique location is no longer there. We've been working on getting a new location and financing and all that stuff.
Do you have a new location?
We do have a new location. This is the same thing. We've actually had a location since we closed. But it's all been dependent on getting the financing together and all that stuff. And that's been quite a process for us. I'm used to making hamburgers and running Blimpies, but I'm not used to securing financing and all the other stuff. I mean, we were not really in a position to just do it. My youngest of four kids is still in college. There's been a lot of things that have, taken up our, I mean, we've enjoyed a good income, but unlike, if I'd have known it was coming 3 years ago, there might have been some things that I would have done. For sure. We bought our house in 2005, let me put it that way. Just those kinds of circumstances. And so we weren't in a position to just do it. We had a lot of interest from the community, from landlords. We had a good realtor showing us places. So there was a lot of locations available. We found one that is very close to campus, very close to here, by the way, to the library, very close to its old location. You can still have the town and gown stuff, and of all the locations, it's the one that I can do snow bears at. The one thing that's a little funny about it is it's not going to be that much bigger. However, it will have much more outdoor seating. Also very close to closing on our financing. We're also excited about that. And we have, as of unnamed, local bank that's helping us out. Currently, we're also doing a fundraising campaign. It's like a Kickstarter. It's Indiegogo. And we're in the last 12 days, I think, of it. And we started off real big. We would like to be able to announce what the location is very soon, because the campaign's not over yet, but since we haven't signed the lease, all the things have to come together kind of all at once. They're interrelated.
But it sounds like we can be pretty confident this is going to happen.
Pretty confident that things are going to happen. Probably my fault if it doesn't happen, but everything is getting very close, and we're pretty excited about it. Fundraising started off real big and has tapered off, just like those kinds of things do. We're about 25% of our goal. We don't have to raise the whole thing to get the money we do have. We're still hoping we can get close to or reach the goal. We're going to add some new perks. A couple of them will be 50-50 donation kind of things. We're definitely going to need the money as we get into our build-out, and because it's going to take several months. It'll be late spring that we'll be getting open. As we get down to the end, we're going to need to make sure that we have the funds for that first month. I think once we're open a couple of months, things will be, I'll be breathing a lot easier. But, going into it, you always end up with unknown expenses and those kinds of things. So most of the stuff, about half of our perks, all have pre-sales in them. The easiest one is a $10 Blimpie buck. Basically, you're buying your Blimpie before we open, and there's a bunch of those in our perks that you can do pre-sale. So I mean, you can do $10 and we will be open, so you'll be able to get your burger. There's two ways you can, if this gets broadcast before our Indiegogo campaign is up, you can get a link to it from our website, which is blimpieburger.com, or you can go to the crowdfunding site itself, which is Indiegogo, spelled I-N-D-I-E-go-go.com, and daughter's written a really nice story as to, you know, what happened and what's been going on. And the way those crowdsource or crowdfundings work is the more you share it, the more likely it is we'll reach our goal. But whether we reach our goal or not, Blimpie's will be reopening.
So with the new space, similar size, you said, will it be the same decor? And more importantly, will it be the same grill?
Yeah, well, it'll be the same grill because that grill is still usable. But the one of the funny things is that people think it's the grill and it's seasoned. But actually, the grill at Blimpie's is a pretty expensive grill. I mean, it's a very good grill. It's got a chrome top. There isn't that seasoning that people think is there. I mean, it's a good legend. The grill will be the same, but the type of grill we have is, at the end of the day, you just spray it with water and scrape it, and it's a shiny surface. I mean, it's a chrome grill. Using the fresh meat, it does get kind of seasoned during the day. You know, when you see it and there's been burgers cooked on it, it looks like the seasoned grill you're talking about, and it is to some extent, but the grill isn't as important as people think. But I don't mind letting them think that. That's fine.
For more information on Blimpie Burger, visit www.blimpieburger.com. Music for this episode is Doing What I Do Best by Mark Cook, off his Blue Voodoo CD, which you can find on the AADL catalog at aadl.org/magnatune. AADL Talks to Rich Magner has been a production of the Ann Arbor District Library. The music's in my soul. Feelings I can't let go. Don't try to stop me now.